If you found this podcast, chances are you're a high achiever and you're successful. But now you're stuck and stressed, and you realize that everything you've created hasn't given you the fulfillment and the joy you thought it would. This is where we discuss the keys of high performance mindset and stepping into the next best version of yourself. Welcome to the Positive Persistence Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Positive Persistence Podcast, where we bring you stories to inspire you and strategies to help you tap into your potential and become your best self. Today, we're joined by a guest who bridges life and work through a fresh and sustainable approach to ambition. She's an executive and life work coach, speaker, facilitator, and founder of Sustainable Ambition. She empowers ambitious individuals and organizations to redefine success, achieve fulfillment, and thrive without burnout. She also hosts the Sustainable Ambition podcast and has enriched audiences as a guest lecturer at prestigious business schools, including Berkeley, Duke, and the University of San Francisco. As a former triathlete and a marathon runner, Kathy is no stranger to resilience, persistence, and embracing joy in the journey. Kathy Onetto, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ian. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I am really excited that you're here, and I have to give you the kudos because I've always wanted to do a triathlon, but it has just not happened. It is on my bucket list. I think I want to do that still, but
I just know that you can do it.
You know, after the time investment for running marathons, I can't imagine what that time investment is for running a triathlon or competing in one. So I give you all the praise. I give you all the praise for.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's amazing. Well, Kathy, I want to kind of just jump into this conversation because you have a very interesting background and a very interesting topic that you speak on. But to kind of dovetail in what we just introed in a little bit, your background includes being a triathlete and a marathon runner while managing a demanding career at the same time. How does your, let's say, your personal resilience and, well, I would imagine you have to have some pretty ironclad discipline transfer into the principles that you teach about persistence and overcoming challenges?
This is a really good question. I think this, wow, I haven't really been asked this question, Ian.
So all right, good.
Yeah, you're like, exactly. You know, it is true that I believe that my training in athletics, you know, does make me think about, you know, how this relates to how do we sustain ourselves as we're pursuing goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to go to actually, you know, a couple of different things here that you're bringing to mind for me. One is that I really believe in this idea of putting in the hard work. So that when you get to that performance day, mm-hmm. all the work is there. You've already done everything that you need in order to perform and to deliver on what you're trying to accomplish. So one of my mantras that I always used when I was doing any type of race was just let my body take me. Let your body take you. So I wasn't worried on race day about whether or not what the results were going to be or how I was going to show up. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to prepare myself the best that I could in my training, all my prep, et cetera, so that I could just show up that day and see what happens. Now, you can't control everything. You can't control the environment. You can't control even what happens with your body, right? And how it chooses to show up that day. But what you can control is the effort and the preparation that you put in before you get there. So that's one thing that I think about when it comes to this idea of resilience and how that idea can be brought into the everyday. Where are we being thoughtful about putting in the hard work so that we're prepared for how we want to show up? Right. Now, the second thing I want to share is that it's not just about hard work and driving hard. You as an athlete know that rest is really important.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we talked about this concept in athletics about periodization, mm-hmm. this idea of you train hard and you also really need to rest. And this isn't necessarily an easy thing to do. Now, our bodies as humans naturally, you know, we use energy. we need to restore it. We forget about that restoration piece, and it goes beyond just restoring while we're sleeping. We really do need that rest, and yet we resist it. And so I think it's important to make sure we're really thoughtful about it, conscious about it, and that we plan for it. And I'll just mention, you know, I like to share the story of Dina Castor, who, you know, won the bronze medal in the marathon. I think it was in the Athens Olympics. And she really leaned into periodization as one of the things that allowed her to train and be resilient and be running marathons into her 40s. And she herself said, the training was the easy part. The hard part was the rest and restoration. Yeah. And so even as an athlete, you know, you think it's like, woohoo, I put in all that hard work, I now get to rest. But even for her, investing in those things that would make her, you know, resilient and increase her ability to perform was also hard. So it really does take conscientiousness, mm-hmm. being conscious about it, planning, having some activities that you know are going to help you be restored over time.
And I think what you're pointing to right there is it's a balance. It's a dance, if you will, between pushing hard and knowing when to take the time to recover. And I think that's so difficult for us to do in this day and age when it's all about drive, 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 hard, hard, hard. You have to grind, you have to work, you know, in order to be able to be successful. And you know, in your book, you advocate for its title, Sustainable Ambition, right? Redefining life and work, like for a greater balance and satisfaction in life in general. So I have to ask, you know, in the content in your book, you talk about this. And now how can individuals, especially those striving through adversity that are trying to come back from a setback or who feel that in order for me to get ahead, I have to be grinding 24/7, 365. How do they start applying this framework of sustainable ambition to create that meaningful change that they're looking for in their life?
Thank you for this question. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, let me just go ahead and frame my method that I talk about in the book, because I think that that's how I'll answer that question. And so my invitation in the book is for us to become more conscious about how we're being ambitious and to manage our ambitions wisely by aligning the right ambitions at the right time with the right effort. Mm-hmm. Now, I should also say, when I say right, it doesn't mean there's a right or wrong. Or perhaps there is a wrong, because someone has challenged me on this. But what I mean by it's wrong is when it's not right for you. Yeah, yeah. So when I talk about right, it's really about the Goldilocks kind of right. What is right for you? Mm-hmm. And so how this can apply in terms of what you're sharing is, you know, right ambition is really about how do I motivate my effort? And is that almost like clean effort, if you will? I've never used that term, but that's what's coming to mind as we're talking right now. And what I mean by that is like, am I naturally motivated by what I'm pursuing? Mm. How am I connected to my goals, to my ambitions? So I actually am like truly energized by it. It's not a slug because I'm doing it because I should, but it's okay. I understand how this goal and ambition connects to who I am, what I want for myself, my values, you know, what I love to do. And it might not check the box on all the motivators that I have in my book, but it checks the box on some of those, right? You understand why this is important to you. The second is, okay, at this time, you know, how does what you're pursuing, you know, really matter to you? And why is it important to you? And are you focused on the right things? And so, you know, I never want to tell anybody, don't live big, right? If you have big ambitions, go for it. My hope is that you just also are putting in place the structures to sustain you through that. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes for many of us, it does take choice. It does, you know, we do have finite time and energy. And so are you clear on what really matters for you now? And are you focused on where you want to put that time and energy? And sometimes we do have to make our worlds small in order to really accomplish what we want to accomplish without, you know, putting at risk some of these things, in particular, important relationships in our lives. you know, without putting certain things at risk, right, that are really going to contribute to our long-term, short-term and long-term fulfillment and happiness. And then right effort is really getting clear about, okay, am I being discerning about where I'm putting in the effort? And then again, getting back to that resilience side that we talked about, do I have a sustaining plan so I understand how I'm going to sustain myself through that? So I think that's some of the ways that I would talk about how we can, you know, as we're pursuing our goals, as we're trying to stay persistent and, you know, pursue what we want for ourselves, that we can make it sustainable.
What would you say to individuals who, you know, I'll just use my own example of my own life of being in a space, in a time, in a profession or job that I wasn't happy in, that wasn't fulfilling, that I was just doing because I had to survive, basically. But my ambitions were somewhere else, right? Like I wanted to change my trajectory in life because, I won't get into my story too much, but because of something that happened in my life, my life trajectory changed. And I was burning the candle at both ends of doing my job A, but chasing my passion in some other realm. With that tug of war between like personal aspirations and professional demands, what strategies from your framework and philosophy could help someone strike, I guess, kind of the right balance between mentally and emotionally healthy so they can sustain themselves as they're chasing their dream?
Yes, I appreciate you bringing this up because this is a critical component. It's not just the physical, like, hey, do I have the energy? That emotional side is really important, as you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, you know, I don't have a magic wand here, right? I just want to be honest about that, that what I am trying to do is offer people a method and a way of thinking about this, because oftentimes what we do is we just say, oh, I want better work-life balance. And that term I don't like because I don't think, you know, you used the term balance earlier and the way you used it is correct. I use it too in the end. And I applaud what everyone wants when they use that term. But my concern is that it sets unrealistic expectations about what that means for us, right? And I think it also is a bit, it's elusive. It's a mirage. We're not really ever going to reach balance. And so I just want to be realistic that I'm providing a method to help us think about how do I navigate these conflicts that I feel, you know, around when I am trying to pursue a lot and I need to focus my time and energy and I need to manage my capacity in terms of how I'm applying all that I want to do. And so I'll go back to, I think that some of the things that you talked about in terms of that, like on that emotional side, I think what can really help is to remind yourself that job. I wrote down, you know, you kind of often have, like, we might just think about it as like, I have this job. Mm-hmm. I don't love it, but, you know, it serves a purpose. And again, I'll go back to how can we get connected to that job so that we recognize why we're putting in the effort there? How does it serve you in terms of how it's fulfilling what your vision is for yourself and what you're, where you're trying to go, right? Mm-hmm. So you can find some motivation or role within it. I also do think, you know, and based on interviews I've had with various, you know, people on my podcast too, I do believe we can find meaning in almost any job.
Sure.
I think it does take some time and energy to do that, right? And yet, to your point, you know, many of us have these things on the side, if you will, that actually do give us more energy, right? That we are trying to pursue. And so, you know, I think that what I'm alluding to earlier in terms of like, this isn't easy, right? Like when we are trying to do a lot and we have a full-time job and we are trying to build this thing on the side, yeah, that's hard. That's a lot to carry. And then I think within that, what I would say is that thinking about some of the things in the book, like how do we pace ourselves? Pacing to me is really important, both in, you know, running a marathon, doing a triathlon, training, but also in life. How do we pace ourselves? And then I talk about taking breaks at different time intervals. So we do need breaks during each day. We do need breaks over the course of periods of time. And I think what it takes when we're juggling this much is being really thoughtful about paying attention to how am I feeling? What is my energy level? Do I need a break here? And building in those breaks over time and being really thoughtful about it, because right. It can both serve as time for restoration, but it can also serve as a motivator. You know, like I know I'm going to get a break at this point, yeah. Right? So making sure that we're building those things in. The final thing I'll say, and then I'll pause, is just to also note, and I know I'm certainly not the first person to say this. I'm probably not even like the millionth person to say this, but paying attention to those really critical times in our lives that are really important for us and making sure that we're truly present for them is, I think, really important. So if it's a family dinner, say, you know, making sure that you're truly present in that moment for a period of 30 minutes to 60 minutes with your family mm-hmm. can do wonders, both for sustaining yourself as well as for investing in those relationships that are really important to you.
Yeah, I have, speaking to that, I have learned the hard way what happens when you don't do that and you are too focused in your professional career, in building something. And as you had mentioned before, you don't take the time to pay attention to those personal relationships that mean so much. And that has come back to bite me big time with my kids. And as you used the phrase juggling, when I was juggling all of these things, as I was trying to run a business, build a business, I felt like I was surviving, but not thriving, right? And this is something that you emphasize in your book as well, is you emphasize thriving in both life and work rather than just surviving. In your perspective, what does that mean? And I think you kind of covered a little bit of it just now in terms of a key to thriving is being able to take a break, take a pause, take a rest, so you can regroup, recalibrate, and regain your focus and go back at it. But how would you give our listeners and viewers a way to kind of evaluate where they are and shift their mindset towards the goal that they want to achieve? And I would imagine that goal would be thriving and not just surviving.
I think what can make a difference is to do the work to first understand what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And so it's why I start the book with Right Ambition. And, you know, for better or worse, the book starts that way because, you know, what do you want? And what do you want for yourself? And do you know yourself well enough yet, you know, to kind of frame that? And even when you do know yourself well, those are not easy questions. And yet that foundation is what can help guide us and ground us in making choices around where we do invest our time and energy. And so instead of feeling like we have to do it all and not feeling grounded and making those choices, mm-hmm. understanding what truly motivates us and what matters to us, what's meaningful to us, can help us then focus our time and energy in making certain choices. And so I think first understanding what matters can then also help us sharpen how we show up day to day. And so what I mean by that, like in our culture, there are a lot of ideal norms that get expressed and get mm-hmm. demonstrated to us. Mm-hmm. What does an ideal parent look like? Which, by the way, you know, all of these ideal norms, ideal parent, ideal worker, I've now started to talk about the ideal pet parent because I'm hearing all these pet owners, and I used to work in that category, like talk about like these expectations of how we need to show up. They just keep increasing. Hmm. And so I think what can be helpful here can be, okay, well, what do I value, for example, as a parent? And if this is what I value as a parent, what are the behaviors and attitudes and ways that I express being that ideal parent from my perspective, what's important to me? And then how can that help me make choices about how I show up, say, with my children? And I think that that can help from a standpoint of, you know, you talked about the emotional side before. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend a lot of energy, many people around our ambitions, our goals, in angst. I do it too, you know, and that's a lot of wasted energy instead of being frustrated, you know, concerned about like, am I meeting all these different expectations of me? Mm-hmm. Can I actually be like, oh, I can be a little bit more at peace and not waste that energy because I am aligned to where I'm putting my time and energy. And I know that that's how, you know, that's what's important to me. This is, I'm aligned with really what's what I want for myself.
It's time to ask yourself, when was the last time you prioritized you? Did you know that research shows that nearly 85% of high performers struggle to maintain a performance mindset while juggling the demands of work and personal life? Those who actively prioritize their performance mindset and personal growth are 30% more likely to achieve their goals in business and life. If you're feeling crippling stress and anxiety, or if you're feeling guilty when you take a moment for yourself, or if you're stuck in the grind and feeling burnt out, you're not alone. Many of us yearn for more, but struggle with the fear of being judged or feeling selfish. And you want to step into the next best version of yourself. That's why I created the Rinse Method, which got me from paraplegic to marathon runner. Backed by science-based proven strategies and now customized for high performers like you. If you're stuck and stressed and want clear steps that you can implement today to move forward, make sure you visit thepositivepersistence.com to download our free Rinse PDF.
Yeah, I think alignment is such an important word. And I think that that word gets used a lot these days and for good reason. And I think that when you are aligned, and it kind of goes back to when you talk about having the things that you feel are important or the most important for you, as you said, the Goldilocks fit for you, you know, you find that alignment, and your sustainable ambition and positive persistence have a lot of things in common in terms of once you are locked in on what's your goal, what's your focus, what's your passion, it is a lot, we'll say, quote unquote, easier to do the things that you need to do to move yourself in the right direction. It's a lot easier to show up as the person that you want to be as you are becoming that person because you're taking those actions that are aligned with your passion. Now, for individuals who are, we'll say, stuck, right? And they are looking to come back from a setback, which a lot of our listeners and viewers who follow this show are in that spot. They're stuck in their current challenge. What would you say are some simple but impactful practices that you would recommend on cultivating that resilience on both a professional and a personal level to be able to have that sustained ambition towards whatever their goal they're looking to achieve?
I think the first place I'd start with that, and I know this might sound, I'm not quite sure the right word to use for it, but I could see people rolling their eyes at this. Forgive me for that. But I do think working on mindset here can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a quote by Oprah that goes something to the effect of, there is no such thing as failure. It's just life pushing you in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I do believe that as we pursue our ambitions, we are also learning about ourselves along the way. And I believe that ambitions follow both, you know, a creative cycle as well as a natural growth cycle. And so we do learn along the way. And so sometimes those setbacks or feeling stuck can sometimes feel as if we've failed. And yet oftentimes that sense of disappointment or not getting to where we expected can also be thought of as learning and also a new possibility. And so mm-hmm. the invitation that I have within that in the shift in mindset is not to minimize what we're feeling. Right. You know, it's to actually, okay, what can I learn from what I'm feeling? And what did I learn from that experience? And what is that telling me about both myself or my situation that can help me redefine where I'm standing now and start to look forward again and say, okay, now where do I go from here? And so, you know, I just did this episode, a solo episode on like dealing with mixed emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mixed emotions is very natural. And what can help is exploring those mixed emotions to say, you know, well, what is really going on? And what is this, you know, one side of this emotion really telling me? What are actually the positive values of that? What are the negative values of that? What is this other mixed emotion telling me? You know, and again, what are the positive values of that? What are the negative values of that? And what insights do I glean such that I can reframe how I'm feeling, relook at these mixed emotions and actually redefine them in a way that are more, in a way that's more empowering. So I've actually been doing this for myself, even going through this big ambition, launched a book. Okay, where am I? How am I feeling about this? And it's given me a more empowering way to look at where I'm standing now and also to tell my story to myself in a more empowering way to move myself forward. So those are a few thoughts. The one other thing I want to share really quickly, Ian, is just our community, who we surround ourselves with, is critically important.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it takes courage to continue on this journey of life. Mm-hmm. It takes courage when we're trying to be persistent. And, you know, having those people around you that have your back, that are going to support you, is really, really critical.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And to that, just to add on to that, it's also important to have those individuals around you that are going to push you. You know, those people that know you and who, when you are feeling like, I don't know if I can do this, or you're feeling like, I can't do this, this is too much, and they call you out, they call your BS. They're like, no, yes, you can do this, right? And I think when you use the word mindset, I'm not rolling my eyes back here, Kathy. I am leaning in to listen, because I'm all about that. And you know, to throw a quote back at you from Gandhi, you know, he says that, or said that, strength does not come from physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. And I think that when you pause and you can look back on the things that you have achieved thus far in your life to get you to where you are, even if you're in a point to where you're not feeling like you're succeeding, you have had so many victories in your life, big and small, to get you to where you are. And when you look back and you start to stack those up, you start to realize, wow, I am a very powerful individual who's been able to overcome some things that I didn't think I was going to be able to before to get here. And so now in this moment when I am stuck and I'm looking at this colossal problem, we'll call it, or issue or challenge that's in front of me, I think I know that I can do this too, because I've done it before, right? And in a different season and in a different environment, in a different challenge, but I've been able to succeed before. And I can do it again. And I think that's all boils down to mindset. And I love that phrase, you know, sustainable ambition, like to be able to believe in yourself. And I think that's what also boils down to. And I'll ask you that question, like, where do you feel self-belief fits into having that sustainable ambition?
Yeah, I mean, I think that having self-trust and self-belief is important for persistence, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I started to say, I came across this theory, the Snyder Hope theory. So really what I want to say is, like, I believe that ambition is hopeful. And part of the reason for this is how he defined hope, which is this idea of having goals. Mm-hmm. Being able to identify pathways to achieve those goals, and then believing you have agency to actually go and pursue those goals. Right. And so that's where I'm connecting in, Ian, to the idea of self-belief, right? Yeah. So if we don't believe, like, okay, I can have this goal, I can figure out the pathways to get there, but I don't know if I believe I can get there, right? I don't believe I have the agency to get there. Then, like, ooh, hope can wither. Right.
Absolutely.
And so I think having that self-belief is really important. I want to go back to what you just said too, around having people around you, because, mm-hmm. you know, expectations are an interesting thing. Expectations, most everything has a pro and a con, or I shouldn't say a pro and a con, meaning there's can be positives to it and negatives to it. And so expectations, right, can also, you know, expectations that aren't motivating to you can be, you know,
They can be defeating.
Can be challenging. Yeah. They can be defeating, right? Mm-hmm. But to your point, having somebody who says, I believe in you. Mm. I expect great things from you, Ian.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, really? I matter. I can actually contribute. I can make a big impact. I can actually achieve that.
Yeah.
We do need those people who champion us in that way. And we need to see it for ourselves as well.
Yeah, that you're right. That is so huge when you actually can set the standard for someone else. And what I mean by that is that you are basically letting them borrow your belief in them until they're able to fill that void with their own self-belief. And setting that standard isn't meaning that you are expected to work up to this level or to become this. But setting that standard is, I see the potential in you that you can become this. Right. And then that belief, you breathe that into somebody else. And that's true.
I love that. One thing, if I could, that I would just like to build, I wonder if part of this seeing someone's potential, setting that expectation or helping them build that self-belief, that part of what I think is critical in that too is that we see the resonance in it for them. Mm-hmm. Right. So when it's an external expectation, that is a should, that is not aligned to what they want.
Yes.
It is not their right ambition. But when there is resonance in it for them and they're connected to it, right, that they are motivated by it, that there is that spark around that idea, because oftentimes we don't see that spark for ourselves. Like, I love it when I'm working with my coach and she's like, right there, see that energy. You know, and she's like, go back to 30 minutes, you know, this time in our, you know, it's kind of, we often need people to see when we get lit up.
Yeah.
When we get sparked by something. And I think when we have that resonance and then somebody believing in us and pursuing that, I think that's where the power is.
Yeah. So true. Absolutely. And when you say that, God, that brings me back to so many conversations that I had with my father growing up, where there wasn't that resonance, right? There was that you should do this, you need to do this, you have to do this. And it's like, no, this is not what I want. This is what you want me to do, but this is not what I want to do. This is not where my passion lies. And I think now, just from my own life, and as we had talked about briefly before we started recording, you know, with our six kids, I have to be very careful in that as well, and not putting on them my expectations that don't align with what they are passionate about and what they want to achieve. Now, of course, there's certain things that you have to do, but right. But I, you know, that's something I learned from my relationship with my father growing up, is that if those expectations aren't in alignment, if there isn't that resonance with that person, not only is the message falling on deaf ears, but now you're creating adversity between you and that individual, you know, and that's so important to think that's on the flip side. But let's bring it back to the positive side, because you are so right. There, it's whatever the phrase is, that it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame, or hard to read the label when you're in the bottle, or whatever it is. But you're so right. Like, it's some, we gloss over that, and not purposely. It's just who we are and part of what we do in terms of our conversations or carry on ourselves. When we have somebody around us that can pause us and say, hey, yes, that right there, that's exactly what we're talking about, right? And that is so key, to have that poignant moment that can open your eyes and you can then reflect and say, well, yeah, I do have what it takes, right? Or I do have what I need to be able to sustain this ambition that I have to become better than I am right now, right? Or to achieve the things I want to achieve. So true. Now, I want to ask, like, drawing on your coaching experience, like, you work with organizations and, of course, obviously, even in your personal success as a triathlete and marathon runner, if you had to give like one actionable piece of advice that you would offer to our listeners and our viewers to help them stay persistent and stay positive to overcome their life's challenges, what would you pick out as like the one thing that you would tell somebody in that situation?
I'm going to go with this one. Again, this may feel a little too soft. So if you want a second one, let me know, Ian. Okay. But I would say really to have self-compassion. And the reason I'm going here is because living our lives as humans is not easy. Mm-hmm. And we will get things wrong. We will stumble. And that is very human. And I think instead of beating ourselves up in those moments, how can we, again, it goes back to that idea of how can we take that as learning and just have some self-compassion for ourselves and give ourselves grace and be generous with ourselves and, you know, pick ourselves back up and say, okay, where do I go from here? And honestly, it's something we have to do probably on a daily, if not weekly basis, right? Where we just won't. We won't get it right. Why? Because we're human. It's just a very honest thing. So that is one thing. Because again, we can spend a lot of time and energy kicking ourselves. It can really be wasted energy.
Absolutely. And I think as we are in this age of comparison all the time, especially with social media, and how do we get ourselves out of that comparison cycle, if you will, so we don't find ourselves being so hard on ourselves and being able to actually grow some self-compassion for ourselves. And when we're maybe not where we want to be in our journey, or we're not making the progress fast enough for ourselves, that we can realize that that's okay. And we don't need to be kicking ourselves because of that.
I'm going to suggest the practice of self-affirmation. And again, might sound corny, but research demonstrates that it works. And I think that where I'd point people around self-affirmation is to say things like, I appreciate myself as a leader, a parent, a friend, whatever, you know, who I'm being in pursuit of this ambition and goal. Mm-hmm. For these reasons, three attributes. What do you love about yourself, right? In terms of who you are being.
Yeah.
And recognize yourself for those things. I am a great leader because I'm compassionate. I listen to my team and I, you know, get in the trenches with them. I appreciate that I am showing up that way for my team, for my employees, like acknowledging yourself for what you are doing. You can also say, I want to acknowledge myself for how I am showing up in alignment with my personal values. Mm-hmm. Here is how I am operating in alignment with those values. And I think what's helpful about this is it's like, it's acknowledging yourself, but it's also reaffirming, how do you want to show up? It's reminding yourself, right, of this.
Yes.
And I think the other self-affirmation that I would bring back too is, to your point about progress, is to actually pause and to acknowledge yourself for what progress you have made. Mm-hmm. So research also shows that, you know, us making progress on our goals is one of the top ways that we can motivate ourselves. And so step back, look, see. You might be feeling like you haven't made as much progress as you would like. And yet oftentimes we have made way more progress than we realize. Also, we also don't recognize that reaching our goals, reaching our ambitions are usually, borrowing from Dorie Clark in her book, The Long Game, it is a long game. And we often underestimate how long it takes to actually achieve what we are set out to achieve. And so acknowledging ourselves for the progress we have made, the fact that we have shown up, the fact that we have continued to put in the work, can be really powerful as well.
So true. And I think that what you said in terms of remembering the things that we've done and remembering all the work that we've put in is so important. And at the same time, you know, acknowledging the fact that the goal that you have, the dream that you have, or the success that you want to achieve is a long game, right? It's not going to happen overnight. And you have to also acknowledge that there are going to be times in that journey where things aren't going to go right. And you should actually expect that, right? Like that's life, right? And having the skills to be able to accept that and bounce back from that. And at the same time, still expecting to win, even though you know that there's going to be obstacles that in your way. I think that is definitely a part of having that sustainable persistence, if you will, that we both have talked about today. Well, Kathy, I want to give our listeners and our viewers more opportunities to find out more about you and your speaking and your coaching, where to buy your book, Sustainable Ambition. Where can they do all of those things?
Yes. Well, they can find everything at sustainableambition.com. They can find my podcast on all the podcast players. You can buy my book on all the different bookstores, and people can also connect with me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on our episode. And I want to thank our listeners and viewers, as always, for tuning in. And we'll wrap this up, as we always do, to remember to stay positive, stay persistent, and remember that mindset is everything. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Positive Persistence family. We're having a great time creating this content, and we truly hope it inspires you to embrace positivity and persistence in your own journey. If this podcast episode inspired you or entertained you, scroll down, hit those stars, and leave a comment. Your 5-star reviews and shares encourage us and help us grow the show. So until next time, stay positive, stay persistent, and remember, mindset is everything.